Te Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verses 17 and 18. And today also is the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, so we have only till 9 o'clock, so I'm going to try to do a little bit of Bhagavatam and then try to speak also on Srila Narottam Das. Kastvam svayam tarabhigyo vipaschet avidyayayam antare vartamanam trisvapunas tvam sagrinar kubudhim prayo jayer upat no. Kastvam svayam tarabhigyo vipaschet Kastvam svayam tad abhijo vipaschin avidyamanam antare vivartamanam trisvapunastvam sagrinha vikubudhim prayo jayet utpattagham yathadham. Translation. If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, how can one who is actually learned, merciful, and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? No wise or kind man can allow this. So there's no purport. The next verse is, of course, a very famous verse that's quoted quite often and spoken about. Guru nasasyat swajanos nasasyat patid nasasyat jane nasasyat daivam natatsyan patis nasasyan namochayad yad samupetamityum. Translation. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdeva advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciples from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Taktva deham punam janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdeva's instructions. Sukaracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali from the path of repeated birth and death. Sukaracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. One is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, Yad karosi yaranasi yad jahosi dadasi yat yatapasi kuntayat tad kurushur mar arpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Unquote. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janena Sasya. The word Daivam indicates a demigod, and one who accepts worship from a dependent, Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here, Rishabhdev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do so, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. This is specifically relevant for a certain personality that I know. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of a disciple or a father takes charge of his son. All of these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. End of purport. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmi. Very poignant and very powerful instructions in this particular verse. Very clear. Unless one is qualified, they shouldn't put themselves in a position of being qualified. And here we see why. Because people become dependent. And those who become dependent, that means one has a responsibility to bring them to the goal of life. Not only in terms of, here it says spiritual master, but also father, mother, and demigod. That even those who are bringing up family members must be qualified not only to give them what is necessary in order to keep body and soul together, but must put them on the path of bhakti. Must bring them to the path where they can actually attain to the goal of life. Otherwise, one should not take up that responsibility. When you have dependence, that means there is a great responsibility. They develop faith, and they listen to you, and they're guided by you. And if you're not qualified, then what does it say in the Sri Upanishads? You go to hell and you take your followers to hell too. It's not a very very worthy destination. Even though one is in a very elevated position, they go down fast. So it's a great responsibility here. And we see that many times persons do take up such responsibilities but are not qualified. So one should be qualified, and here the qualification is that one should be able to give everything to Krishna. One should be able to give everything to Krishna because everything belongs to Krishna. Everything animate, and Ishavasam idam sarvam yatkincha tagam jataga tena jaktena bunditaha magritaha kishasvidanam. That everything animate and inanimate is actually owned and created by the Lord. So there's nothing outside that belongs to someone else. Everything is being used by the living entities, by the mercy of the Lord. We're using Krishna's energy. We're using Krishna's property in order to live. But that using doesn't mean it belongs to. If you borrow somebody's car, it doesn't mean it's your car because you borrowed it. I'm driving it. Now someone says, oh, someone who doesn't know you comes up, oh boy, that's a nice car you have. Yeah, it's really a nice car. And you're not telling them that you actually borrowed it. You're actually accepting it as your own. So everything in this material world belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Actually, even our very bodies, our existence belongs to Krishna. There's no existence outside of Krishna. Krishna is existence, and we are part of that existence. We are within Him, and there's nothing outside of that. So one who knows that, actually, there's no question of giving everything to Krishna because it already belongs to Krishna. Mm-hmm. One time one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I want to surrender everything." Prabhupada said, "What do you have to surrender? There's nothing to surrender. It already belongs. No, I want to give up everything." Prabhupada said, "It doesn't belong to you in the first place. How can you give up something that doesn't belong to you? You can give up the false conception that it belongs to you. Then you have really developed renunciation. That is the real. It's not that you stop using the item. That is not renunciation. Ananasakta visayam yujitam atarham upayunchite nirbande krishna sambande yukta vairagya uchchite. That real renunciation means to use everything in the service of the Lord because it belongs. It means connecting things back to the source. So not renunciation means to give up the false conception that it belongs to me, or that it's for my enjoyment. Extended version of belongs to me means that it's for my enjoyment. So that is the qualification for being in a position of leadership, that one has to represent the real leader, who is Krishna. Leadership means to represent one who is actually the leader. Therefore, that just like kings in many years ago were called Rajarsis. They were saintly kings because they represented the real king, who was Bhagavan. And therefore, they were saintly because they represented the source of all existence. Not that they were giving something different than the Lord intended. And they were there, the Lord's actual perfect representative. So in the same way, spiritual master, father, mother, and worshipable demigod, those who are in a position of responsibility to give direction to others must have the qualifications. Now we see sometimes in our society, and this is interesting, the spiritual master, in case of Srila Prabhupada, has made concessions in order to propagate the principles of bhakti throughout the world, where he's given positions to those who weren't qualified, hoping that, seeing that within that person there is the tendency for that qualifications to develop. Prabhupada did that many times. He gave sannyas, he even gave people like positions like temple president and others who were somewhat lacking in the qualifications. But at the same time, giving them the guidance and the instructions so they could come up to the standard. In other words, Srila Prabhupada took a risk. He took a risk. Why he did that is because he wanted to propagate Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He only had a short time, so he used what was available in order to bring about what was necessary. And that was the proper, you know, management of the society, the proper direction of the society. But Prabhupada was there to also give. But one should not think that because that this was done, that this is the standard. One should not take what is called the exception as the standard. Sometimes the exception becomes the standard. No. The standard is that one should aspire for a certain responsible position only if one has the qualifications. And otherwise, then one will go down. Just like it says that if a spiritual master here's an interesting point, that if a spiritual master makes disciples, and if these disciples are not up to the standard, if he doesn't bring them up to the standard, or if they refuse to come up to the standard, he must reject them. If he doesn't reject a fallen disciple who refuses to change, he goes down. Spiritual master goes down. Pretty heavy. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, therefore, responsibility means that one has to be aware of what that responsibility is. It means that one has to be able to bring those who are following up to this standard. Like that. One time someone asked Prabhupada, I heard that if the disciple doesn't make it in this life the spiritual master comes back again to reclaim his disciple in the next life. Prabhupada said, yes, but please don't give me any trouble. Finish up in this life. It's possible. In other words, become sincere. That's the important, most important thing. You know, qualifications come to those who are sincere. It's not that we have qualifications. Bhakti, the qualifications of bhakti are given to us. We may have material, what we say, abilities and qualifications that can be used in devotional service. And that's, of course, that's a zero after the one, so that is good. But ultimately, the real qualification comes by the mercy of the Lord. That is, that the desire to please the Lord, the desire to purify one's conscience, the desire to surrender, complete surrender is the real qualification, one who is surrendered. So it's a great responsibility to be in a position of to be in a position where one is influencing the lives of others. And that is actually, that's true for everyone. Everyone has some influence. Everyone affects others. There's no one that does not affect another person, even in our day-to-day interaction. So in that, therefore we have a responsibility to each other. Therefore, we become Krishna consciousness conscious as the responsibility to for others. Because if you're fallen, then you affect others in a negative way. And if you're Krishna conscious, you affect others in a positive way. So then, just in general, even if one doesn't have a position, still one has a responsibility for oneself and for others around them to become Krishna conscious, because everyone is affected. The darkness makes everything dark. The light brings everything light. So if you're in the light, you bring light. If you're in the darkness, you can't bring light to anyone. Okay, these are some simple principles on this particular verse. Today is the appearance, Avirbhav, of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And I wanted to take some time to speak about Srila Narottam Das Thakur because he's such a prominent acharya and he's such an integral part of our process of bhakti that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Narottam Das Thakur appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's one pastime wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are traveling. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, and he took a diverse path and headed to the river Padma. And when he got to the river Padma, he went into a type of, we could say, ecstasy. He started calling Narottam, 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 very loudly and with great emotion. And Lord Nityananda asked, many times we hear you calling this name Narottam, but who is this Narottam? And he said that, well, soon there will be a person, a great soul, who will come and he will propagate the mission of Krishna consciousness by kirtan. Kirtan is my heart. I was just watching Dravida Prabhu in kirtan, and I was just thinking, yeah, that's the way I should be. Enthusiastic for kirtan, because that's what really pleases Mahaprabhu, to see enthusiastic persons in kirtan. You know, sometimes, you know, we think we don't feel so enthusiastic, but actually that is the standard, to be enthusiastic for kirtan. So Mahaprabhu, you know, came simply to give that Harinam Sankirtan. So he mentioned that soon there will be a person who will come and will bring the kirtan movement in a very wonderful way. And then he took bath in this river Padma. And when he went into the river Padma, the river started to become turbulent and the waves were hitting the banks. And what happened was that actually the deity of the river appeared and she said, my Lord, you're shaking my waters so much. Why? He said that actually there will be a great soul who will come someday And I am depositing my own prema bhakti within you. I'm depositing my own prema bhakti within your waters. And that was what was happening when the river was becoming turbulent. And someday this person, Narottam, will come. You give him that same prema bhakti that I am giving to you in your waters. And then right after that, he instructed Lord Nityananda that you, when this Narottam, he appears, you encourage him to come here and take bath in this river. So a little late, actually I think it was about a year after Lord Chaitanya left, Narottam Das Thakur appeared. It was either the same year or the next year. And he was born as a prince. His father's name was Krishna. What is it? If I get his father's name. His Krishna Nandat, and his mother's name was Narayani. He also had one brother named Purushottama Dutt, and he was born in the province of Kayturi, and he was born as a prince. He was born in a royal family. And his father was, of course, being a prince, he was very influential. So after, I believe, course of about 6 months to 1 year, they have the first grain ceremony for the child. So his father called all the villagers and everyone from his kingdom to come to the ceremony for his son, giving of the first grains, very auspicious. It's interesting. Somehow or other, I get invited to these first grain ceremonies, putting sweet rice in baby's mouth. Since October, I think I did it 4 times. I don't know why people invite me to these things, but somehow, I don't know, there must be something, some karma or something. Huh? Okay. So, it's a very auspicious, it's one of the samskars, and it's very important, of course. So, the ceremony was there. The Brahmin was there, the puja was done, and then it was time to give the baby the first grains. So they brought the food, and they were about to give it to him, but Narottam wouldn't open his mouth. He wouldn't open his mouth. In fact, they tried to push it in, but he kept turning the other way. He was only about 6 months. And, of course, this is very inauspicious. And everyone is so eager. Whoa, is he going to take the grain? Everybody's just waiting so they can all give their blessings to the child. But it just never happened, and he kept putting me. Finally, there was one Brahmin. He said, he's a devotee. You should give him Mahaprasadam. He's not going to take that. So they took some grains, they brought it to the deity, made the offering, brought it back, it was Mahaprasadam, and as soon as they gave it to him, not only did he ate it all. Mahaprasadam. And his father vowed that from this day on, he will only eat, will only give him Mahaprasadam. Narottam Das Thakur Ki. So from the time of his birth, actually he was a Mahapurush, he was a great soul. He was coming by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya directly from the spiritual world. He wasn't coming under the influence of karma. He was an interesting child when he was young. He was very peaceful, never cried. He would sit. Sometimes parents, they like to have babies like that. They don't make noise. When you have babies, you can guarantee there is always noise. It's the nature of babies. In fact, it's always the noise at the wrong time, usually in the middle of the night when everyone else is sleeping. But Narottam never cried. He was always very quiet. So he grew up, and there was one Brahmin who was living in the village, and he would come to Narottam all the time, and he would tell him stories about Krishna, stories about Lord Chaitanya. So he actually learned about Lord Chaitanya from this one Brahmin. And he became very, very attracted to hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And then this Brahmin told him also about one great soul named Srinivas Acharya, who was about, at that time, who was about 25 years old. Maybe a little bit younger. And when he heard about the glories of the Srinivas Acharya from this Brahmin, he became very, very attracted to wanting to meet and serve Srinivas Acharya. Of course, later on he did. So he lost all interest in material life. He grew up and his parents took care of him very nicely. He was always hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Very, very obedient child. But you know, parents after a certain time, they started making plans for the child. So they were thinking, how can we get him situated nicely in grihastha life? And when he realized that this was about to happen, he was thinking, how can I leave home? He wasn't interested in getting married. He wanted to devote his life to service to the Lord. And so his father was very protective, almost like the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami. They would keep constant vigil over him because they knew he would like to go to the holy places. He would like to associate with the sadhus. He wasn't interested in anything else. He was absorbed. So his father was very concerned. So they actually would keep guards. But one time his father was called away on business. And had to go to another kingdom. And he somehow rather persuaded his mother to let him leave. He said, I will be right back. So he went on a little journey. And during that time, he had a dream. And in the dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to him and told him to go to the area where the Padma River went. So he followed that instruction by Lord Nityananda in the dream, and he came to the Padma River. Oh, one point I forgot in the story was the Padma River, the personality of Padma, asked Lord Chaitanya, how will I know who is this person, Narottam, when he comes? How will I be able to give him your own prema bhakti? And Lord Chaitanya says, just like your rivers became turbulent when I came, he will also do the same. When he bathes in this river, your rivers will also become turbulent. So he came and he took bath in the Padma River. And at that time, Padma understood that this was Narottam. And he was born, he had a kind of a blackish complexion. But after getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through his own prema bhakti from the Padma River, his beautiful blackish complexion turned gold. He developed a golden complexion, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, of course, his parents were wondering where he was. They tried to find him, but somehow he escaped the vigilance of his parents. And he was on his way actually to Vrindavan. He followed the forest path. He tricked his mother and escaped. And then he went to Vrindavan. And actually Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and told him, you should take initiation from one great soul who was living in Vrindavan Dham, whose name was Lokanath Das Goswami. Now Lokanath Das Goswami, after Rupan Sanatan Goswami had left the world, he decided that he would not take any disciples. And that was his vow. There are some great souls who make that vow. And Lokanath Das Goswami was one of them, based on his natural humility, thinking that I am not qualified to, give others, initiation. So he made that vow. And of course, Narottam Das Thakur, he arrived in Vrindavan. He was greeted by many. He was greeted by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In fact, they all knew he was coming. He was greeted by Jiva Goswami and others. And also, Lokanath Das Goswami was in meditation during the time of Narottam's appearance in Vrindavan. And when he received the word that Narottam had come, He stopped his meditation, came to meet Narottam, and this explained he placed his feet on the head of Narottam Das when Narottam paid his obeisances to Lokanath Das Goswami. Little did he know that was going to become his disciple. So there was a natural attraction and affection for Lokanath Das Goswami by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And he asked him, "Please, my dear Guru Maharaj, Lokanath Das Goswami, please give me diksha, please give me initiation." But Lokanath said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't give initiations like that." And he was very firm. And one time Lord Chaitanya, after that, appeared to him in a dream and told Lokanath Das Goswami, "You should initiate Narottam." But he didn't. In fact, Lord Chaitanya had appeared to him twice. The second time, he was a little bit stronger. He shouldn't initiate. But it wasn't until, actually, that Narottam Das Thakur decided to do the most menial and very, what we say, difficult service. Lokanath would go every day to perform his duties, but before he would do that, he would stop into the woods and take care of his body. And then Narottam, secretly, he would follow him, he would hide in the bushes, and then when Lokanath would leave, he would clean the place very nicely with his hands. And then Lokanath would come back the next day into the same area. So this went on, but after a while, Lokanath Das Goswami was wondering, "I'm coming every day to this place, but it's so clean. How is it possible?" And he was thinking, maybe someone else is coming here. So after he left, he decided to hide in the bushes just to see. And lo and behold, there was Narottam Das, and he came. And with his own hands, he started to clean the stool and urine of Lokanath Das Goswami with his own hands. And Lokanath Das Goswami became shocked. He became, he was beyond, what is the word? He was incredulous. "How is it possible?" He came running out. "What are you doing? You're a prince. Why are you doing such low service?" And of course, Narottam, one of his qualities is that he was very, 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 very meek and humble. And he actually was overwhelmed by emotion. He said, "Actually, this service that I'm doing for you is actually my only happiness. This is my real happiness. So please allow me to serve you. Please take me under the shelter of your lotus feet. Please give me your guidance." He prayed so hard. And he was overwhelmed with emotion, just wanting to get the shelter of Srila Lokanath Das Goswami. And of course, right after that, Lord Chaitanya again appeared to him in a dream and told him he should initiate him. And so he did, and that was his one and only disciple. Every day we sing Sri Guru Charana Padma, which was written by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Lokanath Lokera Ajivan. In fact, Dravida Prabhu was, and I were talking the other day, and he was explaining that these four stanzas that we sing are only part of a longer version of the same prayer that is written as the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. So beyond these four stanzas and four verses in glorification of Lokanath Das Goswami, there are many, many other verses where he goes on to describe the glories of the Vaishnavas and the glories of devotional service. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It's actually recommended reading by all devotees, this book, Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Actually, everything that Narottam Das Thakur wrote, he is glorified as that his songs, his poetry, his writings, everything have the conclusion, perfect, complete Siddhanta of bhakti. They're a perfect philosophy. Many times prayers and songs are written, but there is always some consideration according to how to compose songs with rhyme and with certain, you know, literary embellishments that may take away from the principle of bringing it to the Siddhanta. But Narottam was expert. He could combine both literary expertise and perfect philosophical conclusions. And Prabhupada mentions that. So he was exalted or exemplary in that quality of pure bhakti. There are many stories. I was instructed to end by 9 o'clock. I'll tell a few. Of course, many of his writings and songs we sing, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koramore Toma Bina Ke Dayala, in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda, and of course Advaita Acharya and the great souls. And of course, one of the most famous songs that we sing every day is Yeya Nila, not every day, but every disappearance day, Yeya Nila Premadana. Beautiful song in his lamentation for the separation of the great souls. It's a beautiful, beautiful song written by Narottam Das. Such deep in emotional feelings. It goes very, very deep. Simply by singing that song, one can feel the ecstasy of this separation from the great souls. Of course, one of the most famous pastimes is that there's many, but I'll tell the one about Kateri Gram. When he was instructed to go to Kateri Gram by, I believe it was Srinivas Acharya, and of course Janava, and he organized the famous Kateri Gram festival, which was a huge festival which invited thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas and others together for 3 days of kirtan, prasadam, and pravishan. It was a major, major festival. At that time, 6 deities were worshipped. Mm-hmm. They installed 6 sets of deities. One of the deities that was worshipped was a deity that was found by the hands of Narottam Das. This deity was in a godown of one merchant. And in that godown there were snakes. There were so many snakes. And no one could go into that godown because there were so many snakes. So this merchant kept that godown. So Narottam was given some sign, I believe. I can't remember how he received the sign. I believe it was in a dream. Mahaprabhu appeared to him, that's right, and said that there's a deity of myself in this godown. You go down and get it. And when he approached the merchant was told him, forget it. You'll never be able to go down, and there's so many snakes, you'll lose your life. There's so as soon as we go down into that area, we can feel they're hissing and the poison is there. So no one could go. But fearlessly, because he had the order of Mahaprabhu on his heart and in his mind, he descended into that godown, and as soon as he did, all the snakes left. They just left. They didn't. And Krishna's in the heart. He's the antaryami. He's in the heart of all living beings. There's nothing Krishna can't do. There's nothing Krishna can't. That's why a devotee is fearless in devotional service, because he knows that everything is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fearlessness comes when one knows that Krishna is the complete controller. Of course, we don't do anything foolish. It's not that we stand in front of an elephant and say that Krishna is the controller, or a tata sumo or something like that. No, you can't do anything outside of what is given to you as your devotional service. That. And then from that point you have complete protection and you have complete facility. If you go outside of that, then you lose the mercy of the Lord. But a devotee knows that I can do anything on behalf of the Lord because Krishna is empowering me and he is arranging everything That's faith. It has to be there. Otherwise, a devotee cannot continue on the path of bhakti. We must have that faith. So he went and he found this deity of Mahaprabhu, took the deity and installed it as part of the Kateri Gram festival. And this is a beautiful, wonderful festival. Devotees came from everywhere just for this festival. Raghunanda Thakur, the son of Advaita Acharya, Achyutananda, who else was there? Of course, Janavamata, Srinivasa Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and many of the associates that were there after the departure. Lord Chaitanya had left the world 50 years ago. This was in the year 1574, I believe it was the year, something like that. Almost 40 to 50 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And so many of the original associates of Lord Chaitanya had also left during that time. So at one point there was a kirtan, and Narottam had developed certain styles of kirtan which had never been introduced before in the history of kirtan. Even today I think we practice some of those styles, I'm not sure. Places in Bengal they do. There are still devotees of Narottam Das Thakur who sing his particular styles of kirtan. But he began singing this one kirtan. And he started off, he was playing kartals. And there were so many mrdangas there. And he played very softly. And he started to sing the kirtan begin. And he was very softly chanting and playing the kartals. But gradually, after some time, the kirtan started to build. And then the mrdangas came in, and then louder and louder and more tumultuous. Finally, the kirtan was going, and it was going and building and building and building and becoming more and more ecstatic. And everyone in the kirtan was like Dravida was leading kirtan or something. You know, everyone was just ecstatic, and it was just tumultuous. And at one point, a miracle happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with many of his associates, appeared personally in the kirtan. Not only just appeared in what we call their unmanifested form, but they were there in their manifested form. Everyone could see. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, who else? Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Murari Gupta, who else was there? Mukunda Sakar, many of the children of these great souls were seeing their parents again. Raghunandana Thakur was seeing his father Mukunda, Achyutananda was seeing his father Advaita Acharya, and many, many other great devotees. And they were dancing ecstatically. And this went on and on and on. And the place was becoming mad. Just mad. Devotees like to go mad. Actually, if you can't go mad for Krishna, there's no use. Sometimes we're mad for the wrong thing. I mean, everybody's mad. But we have to be mad for the right thing. That madness is actually, it's called laoyam, or intense eagerness in order to get the mercy. That means to want to absorb oneself in devotional service. That absorption, or that, what we say, that mood of being fixed in Krishna consciousness is complete satisfaction. There's no satisfaction outside of just being engaged fully in devotional service. Complete satisfaction. That is that what keeps the mind completely happy and contented. Mind is always uncontented. The mind is always finding some problems, some faults, something's missing. But when one is absorbed in devotional service, the mind is satisfying. It's in its perfect position. So everyone was not only satisfied, they were beyond satisfaction, they were in ecstasy. But at one point, during the height of the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya and all his associates disappeared. They all disappeared. And then there was the lamentation due to separation. So that was a very famous. Janava Mata, she was there. In fact, she was considered to be the leader of all the devotees at that time. She had organized the Sankirtan parties from Bengal, from Jagannath Puri, and from Vrindavan. She was more or less the coordinator. She was considered to be the leader of all the Vaishnavas. And sometimes people ask, well, can ladies take positions of leadership in Krishna consciousness? When that was asked by Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, can women become spiritual masters? Prabhupada said, yes, we have our Janava Mata. He used Janava Mata as an example that also women can also take on responsibilities also. And she was respected. And she had organized the cooking of the entire feast for thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees and others. And she, not only did she organize, she made sure all the guests had nice quarters to live in, that they had whatever they needed. They each had each guest had servants to take care of them, to make sure all their needs were being met nicely. And then when the feast was served out, she made sure everyone had plenty of prasadam. And because many of it was cooked by Janava, people were just eating and eating and eating and eating beyond what they normally eat because it was so celestially relishable. It was beyond prasad. There is prasad, but then there is prasad. That stuff that goes way, way, way beyond ordinary food. Have you ever had that? Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. That prasadam that is not prasadam, it's just pure nectar. And that comes when you have someone who cooks with that type of devotion. Of course, we aspire to meet such persons and accept their service. I remember I was recently traveling in Spain. Of course, just to give a slight comparison, and I was in Spain and I met some devotees from Russia, and there was one couple, very nice couple, man and wife, and I was with Sarup Damodar Maharaj. So she had cooked something for Maharaj that night, so he invited me to join him for prasadam. He said, try this is really good. So I said, okay. So he kept giving me more, and I was like, wow. And the next day, I went to her, and she invited me for a home program, and she had cooked this wonderful feast. And it was the most amazing prasadam, most amazing. The devotees were all asking her, can you open up a restaurant? Can you open up a restaurant? They already had one in the city, and it was already successful, but they wanted her to open one too. When you get someone who has that, it was she had cooking expertise, no doubt, but that wasn't what made the prasadam so wonderful. It was her bhakti. And by meeting this person, I could understand, yes, she put so much of her heart and her attention, her love in cooking, and that when you taste such prasadam, you realize this is prasad. So Janava was like that. And she had cooked, and the devotees were just eating, and they couldn't stop. They were thinking, we'll never be able to get anything like this again, so we might as well take as much advantage as we can. And after she served all the guests, and then she sat down the servers and served herself, she served all the servers. And then after she finished serving all the servers, and then she started to organize the cleanup, but they said, no, you, Mataji, please sit down and take prasad. And she was the last one to take after preparing and organizing and serving and seeing that others were taken care of. She took prasad. And this is the natural humility and this is the happiness of a Vaishnava, is to be able to serve. And people in the material world think that being served is actually the goal or the to aspire to be served by others, but actually not. Because the nature of the soul is this, and the soul actually finds happiness through giving. Giving, bhakti is the nature of the soul, and the expression of bhakti comes through service. So the soul becomes satisfied when it can give itself in the form of service, like that. So we actually become happy by service, satisfied by service. So that's a beautiful, beautiful story. There's one book on Lives of the Vaishnava Saints, I think, that was translated. In one section, there's the life of Srinivasa Acharya Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu. Those three lives are mentioned in that one book, and there's a very nice narration of this Kateri Gram festival by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So it's after nine. One last thing is that Narottam Das, although he wasn't born in a Brahmin family. He was born in a family of prince. He was considered a Kayasta. And so when he started to initiate others, he was initiating Brahmins. And many of the Brahmins were becoming upset by his taking on the position of a spiritual master. And they became very upset, especially when what was his name? Narayan Chakravarti. When Narayan Chakravarti was very respectable Brahmin in that area, took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur, all the other Brahmanas became outraged. Because he'd been giving others, but when he initiated Narayan Chakravarti, they became outraged. So they went to the king, whose name was Nrisinga Rao, and said, "This Narottam, he's breaking all religious principles. He's more like a sudra, and he's initiating Brahman. He's bogus. So you're the king. You're responsible to keep and maintain religious principles. So you should stop this Narottam." So he said, "Well, what can I do?" And he said, "What we'll do," the Brahmins had an idea, "we'll come and we'll get some other pundits and we'll go and we'll challenge this Narottam to a debate and we'll defeat him, we'll expose him as being phony, and then you can arrest him." So the king said, "All right." So they got one Rup Narayan. Rup Narayan was the famous Digvijay pundit. It was defeating everyone, but he was defeated by Jiva Goswami. So he lost a little bit of his reputation, but still he was around. So he came, and so the Brahmins found Rup Narayan, and the king came, and they took other pundits, and they were on their way to the where Narottam was. So the word got out that they were coming. So two of Narottam Das's disciples, which was, of course, Narayan Chakravarti, and who was the other one? Does everybody remember? What was the one that was initiated by Srinivasa Acharya? He was, Ramachandra? Ramachandra. I can't hear you. Something like Ramachandra. Yeah, Ramachandra Kaviraj, yeah. And, Ramchandra Kaviraj. So they decided to defer the party coming. And so they dressed up as ordinary merchants. One is a betel merchant, and another one was a panwala. And they set up some stands a distance away from where Narottam was staying, on the same road where the king and the pundits were traveling. So they were somewhat in disguise. So when the Brahmins and the pundits came, they stopped and they said, "Well, maybe we should get some pan, some betel." So they came to the stands where Ramachandra Kaviraj and Narayan Chakravarti were, and they asked for the merchandise. And in a complete, perfect Sanskrit, the devotees responded. Sanskrit. And of course, no one generally speaks Sanskrit, especially as an ordinary language, especially for panwalas and betalwalas. This is like the language of the pundits. And so they were shocked, you know, these merchants are repining in Sanskrit. And then they revealed themselves, we are disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, and you're going to come to debate with Narottam, but before you do that, you have to debate with us. So they did. And they completely defeated all the Brahmins. All the Brahmins. And then Rup Narayan was there, the famous pundit, and he was destroyed. And when the king saw what was happening, that this betel merchant in Panwala was defeating these very educated Brahmins, he turned to the rest of them and said, you know, if this is the disciples of Narottam, imagine what their guru is. So I think we better turn around and go back. So, of course, the king actually, you know, realized that this Narottam Das Thakur was actually a very exalted Vaishnava. So that's a beautiful story in how, Narottam Das Thakur had made very, very qualified disciples who were able to preach and spread Krishna consciousness far and wide. There's many, many more stories, but I was instructed to stop by 9 because the devotees have services to do. But Narottam Das Thakur remains very prominent in our Vaishnava traditions. His songs, his writings, his influence. So today is his appearance day, and it says that on the appearance and disappearance of great souls, and special mercy is available from these great souls. So we take some time, we hear about their pastimes, we hear about their qualities. We offer nice prayers, praying to them for their mercy, asking them to help us in our devotional service, and we get special mercy. I just received a letter from someone, I was reading it yesterday. In my letter to that person, I says that we have to pray for the mercy of the Lord. And then the person wrote back, is there anything else? And is there any other way I can get mercy? I was thinking, well, I guess there is, but I can't think of any right now. There is, we can get mercy in different ways, but prayer, the eagerness to get the mercy, and following the principles and instructions of the spiritual master makes us qualified to receive that mercy. So we have to be eager for that mercy. If you're not eager, you don't get it. You get something, but those who want the real mercy, they have to pray for it. They have to want it. They have to beg for it. That is what it means to be, that is what it means to make progress on devotional service. Usually we pray for the mercy when we find ourselves in a maybe difficult situation, or somehow or other Krishna somehow drops us for a little while just to teach us, and then we start praying again for the mercy. But we should always be in that mood of praying for the mercy. We need mercy. Maya is strong, and Krishna is a hoaxaja. He's beyond the reach of the senses. And our attachments due to our previous association with material life are still there within the heart. So these three defects, Maya's external influences, our own contamination, and Krishna is a hoaxaja. So it's very difficult to remain fixed on the path. So therefore we need the mercy. We have to pray for that mercy. Okay, any questions, comments, Narottam Das Thakur, or any questions on Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone? Huh? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna.